All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Hey everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. So this came from a reader, or a listener, I guess you'd say, emailed us in with had some myth questions. He's like, I don't understand all the myths. You read so much stuff, so...
All my buddies say this.
I know, so we're going to talk about our experiences. This is more of a concept of what we see out on the water. I mean, we've all been tournament fishing for 20-some years. We're out on the water 50 days a year. We start seeing some of these myths that people talk about and how some of them kind of get broken. Or they're maybe not broken. Maybe it's true. I don't know. But we're gonna talk about a few of them. And this is something we probably can't get into all the myths. This guy came up with a couple of them. And the first one, because he's a walleye fisherman, he was talking about post-spawn walleye. Spawning walleye. Should you even fish them?
Right.
Or for those 2 weeks after they're done.
Right.
Well, that is a myth. Because here's the deal. Most walleye, and we're gonna focus on different fish here, but we're gonna talk about walleye first. Most walleye spawn, usually, you know, up on the dams, or, you know, like 20% of them usually go up to a river system if they have a river that's coming into a lake, something to that. And they say that, and they spawn between 40, 44 degrees is pretty average. I mean, it's not to say that one won't spawn at 39 and one at 45, but that's the typical range.
Right.
But then we hear it time and time again, 40 to 44.
Well, waste of time.
Waste of time. No, it isn't. Right. Because if you got 30,000, 200,000, whatever it is, amount of walleye in your local lake, do you think they're all spawning on the same day?
Hell no.
No, they're not. No. And what are they doing? The ones that spawned early, they might rest. I'm not a walleye, so I don't know if they're resting or not, but we're catching a ton of fish through all of spawn.
Well, but that's the thing is, what do you mean by rest? I mean, they're not like us, right? They're not sitting on the bottom of the lake, their feet up on the sofa, you know, hanging out, not moving. They have to eat. I mean, they just got done getting their ass kicked by spawning. They're going out and eating. I mean, they are going to go out and just hammer it because they're hungry and they're moving. I saw a very interesting article a long time ago about the migration of fish right after they spawn. And this is kind of going to bust this myth. Is, you know, the idea was that the fish don't go too far from their spawning grounds. They kind of just hang out in a little bit deeper
water.
Was this
the one where they tagged fish? Or yes, they electronically tagged them and followed them?
And they followed them for two years.
I read the same thing.
And I don't remember where the article came from.
It was like 8 years ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago. But the craziest part about it is the amount of distance those fish covered the second they spawned was just unreal. I mean, in smaller like reservoir systems and stuff, I mean, they would crisscross that lake in weeks, you know, in just a few weeks, they would go all over that lake. In the bigger lakes and stuff, yeah, they migrate, you know, like the Lake Michigan or whatever, they migrate, but they roam immediately. And those Erie guys, they know it. Coming out of the Detroit River, they know that their time catching those fish coming out of the Detroit River is limited. And so if you're going to get those big hogs coming off the spawn, you have a very short time to do it because they're off. They're off and running.
But it's a perfect funnel system, you know. It's before they can go off wherever.
Yep.
They're all kind of trapped there. You know, here's a interesting thing, too, about how all fish don't spawn at the same time. So here in Colorado, there's a few reservoirs where they actually have a, you know, the egg collection program too, where the spawning program.
So they close like the dam.
Yeah. And they put gill nets up in the afternoon, come back the next morning, they take all the fish out of the gill nets, they bring them up to this pontoon boat, and there's a big kind of net.
We actually did that one year.
When Brad and I volunteered and got to handle these great big beasts, it was awesome.
Do they all die?
None of them die.
Okay.
I'm
just bringing it up because I know some people, but people will ask. Yeah. You know,
it's a very high success rate. But here's what they do. So they know right away if they're
green or not.
Yeah. If the females are ripe, you bet they'll squeeze their eggs out right there and they release the fish. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them that they pull out of those nets each day, they're not ripe yet. They test them and they squeeze them just a little bit. Nope, eggs are coming. They're not just kind of popping out, you know. So those fish aren't ready yet. So they put them in this kind of net contraction
underneath the pontoon
in the lake, and they let them sit in there until they come ripe. So they check them. But we're talking,
awesome.
We're talking, you know, up to a week to right. 2 weeks. Some of those fish will sit in there
yep.
before they become ripe. Where other fish that they caught in that same net, you bet they were ready. So it is a longer period of these different fish yep. actually spawning at
so
that time.
Even if the fish do take time off and relax, and they're not feeding, there's still a bazillion of them that are. And when those ones are spawning, the ones that did spawn are ready to mm-hmm. eat.
Right. And don't forget the males. I mean, I know it's not that trophy giant walleye, yeah. but you can catch. I mean, the males just get violent.
Yeah, you better have something to clean your boat or well, you're gonna be
yeah,
short.
Yeah, it looks like a porn shoot. But still, it's just, it's one of those things where they're, I mean, they just, it's still fun. I mean, they just,
oh, yeah.
They just
yeah.
hammer it. And, you know, it's a 17 inch fish, and you're thinking, I mean, he hit it like he's 7 pounds. And you're thinking, holy shit.
That was aggressive.
Yeah, yeah. That was crazy, guys. Well, and this reminds me of a quick story I'll tell you guys, and then we'll go on to the next myth. But when we started to talk about this, I remember as a kid growing up, we used to be able to go fish. The reservoir I grew up on in Pueblo, Colorado, actually has the Arkansas River flowing into it. So a big chunk of the fish, if they're not on the dam, they go up into the river. So the river is on the west end of the lake. Well, in the west...
Pueblo, they close off the dam too?
Yes.
Or they do?
Yep. And the west end of the lake is, you know, we call it the west end, and it's got all the big cottonwoods under the water.
Why do you call it the west end?
Because it's on the west end of the lake.
Oh, that's a good thing
But
to
it's
call
kind
it,
of the northwest end. But anyways.
Even Pueblo guys figure that out.
But, yeah. I'm telling you.
Where's that sun?
That's solid education. Yeah.
This way.
Hurry up with your story.
All right. So anyways. You would go earlier in the year and you would fish up in this end, and it's not a, you know, you're not looking at the Arkansas River and casting in current. It is just, like I said, it's the old riverbed. It's still a big part of the lake. You know, you guys have all seen it. Mm. But it is closer to the river, which is a great example of these fish just cranking out once they spawn. So we were, and I was shore fishing and fishing with Original Rapalas, like you've heard us say it over and over and over. And we were fishing, and I was probably 10, 12 years old, and casting from shore. And during one of those pauses when you're bringing it in, this giant crocodile of a walleye comes up from underneath and just blows it up. Just, you know. And you know how they come up from underneath and they start to roll. Boosh, 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 and you're just holding on. So I bring in this fish, and this is by far, up to this point, the longest walleye I've ever caught in my life. It was a little over 32 inches and weighed less than 7 pounds.
Whoa.
Yep.
It was a sick walleye.
It had just spawned. I mean, the belly was soft. The head was massive. She had just spawned. And I mean just, I would not doubt if she had spawned that morning and was probably on her way out and was feeding. And, you know, it was one of those ones where, you know, that was back in the day when it was, you know, mid-80s where conservation of fish and letting fish go and all that stuff wasn't at the forefront of most people's minds. So, you know, you got a fish like that, you took her home. Well, we didn't take it home because she was so gigantic and so thin that, you know, my dad even had that thought that maybe she isn't right. Mm-hmm. Now, come to find out, and after researching it and later on in life when I get to high school learning about it, I am talking to the wildlife guys, no, she was a spawned out female, and that's very common in that lake because they've got that big of fish in that lake. Mm-hmm. Over 32 inches and not even 7 pounds.
That's crazy.
And she, but just, I just never forget those jaws. They were gigantic, but... You know, I mean, if I could have gotten that fish a month later, shit, it probably would have been 14, 15 pounds.
She's oh, whatever. Fish. That's junior for you. What's your next
okay,
myth?
Okay, I've got a myth, and we'll stick with walleyes one more time. So I don't know. This myth has kind of been busted for quite a while, but it's just so interesting to me. But growing up in Minnesota.
Are you going to talk about the teeth thing?
Yep.
Okay.
Just listen. Listen.
I
up.
Am.
Okay. So the old wives' tale myth is that in the summertime walleyes lose their teeth, and that's why you can't catch them in the summertime.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, we all laugh like that's the stupidest thing you ever heard, right?
Right.
I know. I think everybody believed that for years and years and years and years and years back in the Midwest.
Right.
Maybe it is us Minnesotans.
From the Heron Lake area.
Well, okay. So
well, their tree doesn't fork.
Maybe.
So now
my uncle, dad, same guy, told me back in the day.
You know. Okay. Anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and bust that myth right now in case anybody doesn't know. Walleyes do not lose their teeth.
That's right. Yeah. And if you think they do, I want to see the picture when you try to lip one.
Yeah. So here's the deal. Here's what's really happening, you know, because it totally makes sense. Uh-huh. So in the summertime, when the water temp's high, so now we're talking end of July, August, right?
Right.
Yeah. But walleyes are tough to catch out here. I don't care where you're at. You know, good luck. It is a challenge. Well, it's not that, you know, they're not feeding. It's not that, you know what it is? Mm. It's the fact that the water temp is kind of the highest it's going to be all year.
Right.
Their metabolism is the highest it's going to be all year. They need to eat the most that they eat all year.
Right.
And the most often just to keep
their... And when do they do it?
Well, it's not even that. Here's the real kicker.
August, what we do when the August is that water. Yeah. Ah.
Well, what it really is the bait fish population in most lakes are at the highest. It's a smorgasbord.
It is. They don't need to, you know, they don't need to hit your crappy offering.
You're competing with the
honest. And you can't compete. Let's just get
the
that
only
straight.
Way you can. Is at night.
Yep.
You can find the tight balls of bait fish and pull out of them.
Or the reaction strike.
Well, you're going to,
whatever it be. You're fishing.
You get lucky then.
And you know what? And this is perfect because this leads right into another myth about you can't catch fish during the walleyes during the day in shallow. But you go ahead and finish with your no teeth. And we'll go into that one next.
This is going to be a walleye episode.
I know, on accident, but
Well, that's pretty much it. Yeah. I mean, that's the bottom line.
So that's perfect because that is exactly right. Yeah. How many times have you heard? And I know we've talked about it in probably prior podcasts and stuff, but walleyes don't bite during the day. Their eyes are too sensitive. They're like vampires, you know, and they don't go in shallow water. They don't go in 2 feet or 3 feet of water when the water temperature is 82 degrees, 83 degrees. And I'm here to tell you, you stick to that myth, boys. Stick to that myth. Good luck out there in 35 foot of water. I'm going up to 3-4 foot of water, and I am going to cast up even shallower, and I'm going to watch those walleyes hammer them at 12 o'clock noon on an August day, because that is where those fish still are. Because why? Because that's where That's where the bait is. That's where the bugs are coming up out of the mud. That is
where a lot of the bait fish are hiding in the
cover
that's coming up.
Whatever. Brush, you know, the rocks. So, you know, don't let anybody tell you, first off, that walleyes don't bite during the day. Walleyes feed all day and all
night. I'm telling you, if you're going to cast shallow, which we do a lot, maybe not August, but definitely July 4th-ish, where, I mean, up to August, we are catching a ton of all kinds of species.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I mean, walleye and smallmouth. Yep.
Crappies.
Big crappies.
Wiper.
Carp?
Yeah, what lots of carp.
What are they up there? Because the bait fish are there.
And
they're shallow.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And yeah, carp, you know, carp suckers. They scour the bottom. Absolutely they do. But how many times have you guys caught a carp or a sucker or a catfish on a crankbait fishing in 3 feet of water casting for a smallmouth or largemouth or a walleye? I mean, so don't, you know, they are all predators, all of them. And they don't, and this is a myth that I think is absolute garbage. Fish don't get full. Like, I can remember
fish sticking out of their
absolutely
mouth.
I can remember old guys saying, you know, we're just not catching these walleyes in the mornings like we used to because they're up feeding all night. Those fish are feeding all night, and come morning, they're just not into it. And I'm thinking to myself, you just aren't a good enough fisherman because those walleyes are feeding all the time. And how many times do you catch walleyes and they have fish in their throat? They are coughing fish up the whole way in. They're throwing them up all over your boat. I mean, they are stuffed to the gills and they're hammering your size 7 flicker shed.
Yep. I got a different species now. I want to talk a little bit about smallmouth and relating to structure. So we've been smallmouth fishing before and just once or twice.
Yeah, a couple times here or there.
So
I know we talk about walleye a lot, but we catch a ton of smallmouth in Colorado.
And giant rainbows. I mean, it's crazy.
Not on purpose.
That's a myth right there that's a cool fish.
Yeah.
Busted.
Busted right there.
Yeah, I won't name any names, but a certain person around here, a personality, has said that, that's nothing but a carp in a clown suit.
So anyway, smallmouth relating just to structure. I think we are all together, and this was a few years ago, to where we were fishing, and I don't remember what lake it is, so if I start telling the story and you remember where we were.
It was Pueblo.
Was it Pueblo?
Yeah.
So we're fishing structure, right? Because we're trying to jig up walleye, or we're casting the shorelines of walleye, and we're like, what the heck, man? we're marking a lot of fish suspended out, and we're thinking, nah, those are probably the trout, you know, that are out there suspended.
The carp.
Even the catfish suspend in July and August because they're the big fish. But we're trying to get those active fish up on the shoreline casting shallow. And not doing real well this day.
The wind tons of shad. It's like the second hatch of all the shad. Yeah. It's just tons.
We weren't doing real well. So Mitch had his aqua view. So we pulled out to where some of those fish were just loaded, suspended. I mean, it felt like you could get out and walk on them.
Oh, and we were in like 80 feet of water.
Yeah. And they were right underneath the surface all the way down to 20.
I think about 16. Was it 20?
Yeah, I thought it was between 20 and up.
Suspended over deep water.
Deep water. It was a... So, and Pueblo is... That's right, it was Pueblo because the farther east you get, I mean, it's almost like tap water clear. It's super clear.
Yeah, very clear.
So the visibility is really good. So we dropped the aqua view down, and the smallies were stacked up like cordwood, anywhere from 6 feet to, I thought it was like 16 or 18 feet, whatever. Just loaded.
Loaded.
So where do you think we started fishing?
And then mixed in with them, rainbow trout. Gigantic rainbow trout. All mixed in with them. And in Pueblo, the population has gone down, but they had a really huge wiper population. So whenever you would mark fish like that, man, stand by, it was wiper. And you knew you were going to get just destroyed, right? Mm-hmm. But now it's just huge amounts of rainbow trout. And, you know, they do stock them, but they're also very natural producing in there because of the Arkansas. And, man, it's just to see all those smallmouth suspended in there.
And they're catchable.
And not related to a stump or trees that were cut off under the surface or a big island.
You know what was
just
funny?
In the middle of
it
nothing.
It was funny because we started catching them, and I don't remember, we started trolling them, right?
Yep, we were trolling them with, I think we were doing flickers of size fives on with snap weights.
Yep, we were, and we were hammering them. And there, what was funny is that weekend we were just down fun fishing, and there was a smallmouth tournament. And these guys, a lot of teams blanked. They're like, oh, look at these things. Like, what the hell? They had like 25 boats. Right? It wasn't a very big tournament.
Right?
But they had like 8 fish between the 25 boats. Yep. And we were like, dude, we caught probably 40 smallmouth, all between 2 and 5 pounds. They're like, what?
Yeah. And there's no, I mean, we were by ourselves. I mean, other than dodging ski boats, we were by ourselves.
Yeah, because everybody's up casting.
Yep.
And it was a one-day tournament because we told them. And they were like, no way. No way, the fish don't do that. Yeah. And we're like, okay.
Yeah, whatever.
Maybe that's another myth we can bust. You have to stay in your box. No, get out of the box.
Yeah, the box. There's no such thing in fishing. And I got to tell you guys, I think, you know, I'm not a big, I don't follow a lot of the bass guys, but I respect guys like Kevin Van Dam and Mike Iaconelli and all these guys. I'm telling you right now, if Kevin Van Dam set his mind to it, and he's a Michigan boy, so he knows, right? If he set his mind to it, he'd be an amazing walleye fisherman. Because he knows how to fish shallow out of his box. That's how that guy stays relevant all these years.
A lot of those smallie guys, and we talk to them, and because we fish a lot of smallmouth too. There's a lot of times we're casting shorelines for smallmouth. How do you think we got into catching walleye shallow?
Yeah.
Because we're going for smallies this day.
Well,
boom, one walleye after another.
Yeah. Like, and growing up, I mean, it was definitely no, you know, we would go out hoping to catch walleye. But I'm telling you, we'd catch 30 smallies for every one walleye. I mean, we just love catching fish. Mm-hmm. And so you would just catch smallie after smallie after smallie. And then about an hour before dark, walleyes would start to move in. Smallmouth seemed to disappear. And before you know it, you're catching smallies. So all right, another myth to bust. And this is one we all laugh at. And I still, this day, never forget it. Okay? So we want to, let's say we're going out and let's go to Western Nebraska. On a nice little lake out there called Lake McConaughey, right? Yeah. And if you've never been to Lake McConaughey or seen it, it is a good sized body of water.
Yeah, it's 20 some miles
long. It's big.
2 miles wide.
Yeah.
It's a big egg shaped
lake. Yeah,
and it's awesome.
It is awesome. And it has got unbelievable fishing, and the weather is wicked nasty at times. But it's an east west running lake. And if you want to go catch catfish, like you have never caught catfish
around the
before.
4th of July.
Around the 4th of July or so, go out, put on crankbaits, troll crankbaits on planer boards, and just hold on. Or crawler harnesses, and just hold on. You will catch humongous catfish.
Well, maybe not for the catfish guys like down in Arkansas where they're catching 30-pounders, but yeah. a lot of that 5 to 15-pound range. I mean, and the way you find them is you're pulling cranks at like 2 miles an hour, yep. 2.5.
You're hauling.
You're
not that deep either. You're, you know, maybe 8 feet.
Yeah, that's what we were running, 5 to 8 yep. feet down, because we were marking so many fish, yep. and what we were doing is finding these giant balls of bait fish. I mean, they were like 2 football fields long.
Yep.
And just pulled through them.
These marks, we thought they were walleyes.
Of course.
You know, that's why we
solid
were
arches.
Them. Yes.
Yep. Suspended, and, right? Because catfish are bottom fish.
Yeah. What a surprise.
Yeah. I mean, and guys, I don't mean like, hey, look at this catfish on a crankbait. I mean, you roll through and all of your boards go down, and catfish are just crazy hard fighters. I mean, that fish is all muscle, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, before you know it, boards are getting pulled under the water and you're reeling in fish and, you know, they're as slimy as those damn trout. And when they get that slime on the carpet in your boat, you cannot get it off. It's like a glazed donut, right? It is disgusting.
But when you're piling them in like that,
oh,
it's
my
fun.
Gosh. And just one after another.
I tell you what, that weekend that we did that, right?
Yeah.
That was the weekend that I gained all my confidence in marks on the sonar. Because yes. remember what we were doing. We'd be just trolling along and dee-de-doo and staring at the sonar like we all do, right? Everybody. And all of a sudden, oh, there's some marks. And
there's some balls of bait fish, hold on.
Yep, and we'd just be like, wait for it. Boom. And we'd kind of time, yep. you know, we were 100 feet off the back of our board.
Right.
You know, we'd kind of time when it'd be like right now. And all of a sudden, boom, that yep. rods would load up. Yep. And I was like, look at that.
Dude, it got so busy in our boat, we ended up running 2 rods instead of 4.
Well, you couldn't keep up.
No,
it was too much. And then you were scared about, you know, they were lopping off crankbaits because they roll like crocodiles.
Well, and the fun of it was, it wasn't like, oh, these are all cats, we need to go find walleyes. No, we stayed there because it was so much fun.
Well, and then the crazy part is you would catch 10 catfish, and then guess what? That next fish, 7-pound walleye. They were all mixed in with those catfish.
It was crazy to see suspended walleye. Yep. And when we were out in in Jackson, did the same thing. We were catching, and this is in early summer,
uh-huh.
but it's a lot shallower lake. I mean, it's only like 15 feet deep,
right?
Yeah, 17 feet deep. Mm-hmm. So the water got warmer, but we were trolling cranks for eyes. And we ended up catching catfish doing the same thing. So it's not just that lake.
No,
I mean, and we've done it since then. That was the first time we ever saw. We're like, we got to come back and do that again.
Yeah.
Okay, and we have. And it's test of time. It's proven.
We've done it for years.
Yes.
And that's kind of the biggest funny part about Lake McConaughey. Anybody that fishes there regularly, we all laugh about the damn catfish. You're like, oh, God, only if you want to catch catfish. You know, so I mean, I think it's good. I think the moral of this entire podcast is, don't believe the myths. The myths has been around. They've come from somewhere. They've been perpetuated by old dudes. You know, don't believe. I mean, fishing is an ever evolving sport, and don't believe what you hear. And definitely don't take a perfect fishing day off because some old guy tell you they don't bite this time of year.
Right.
You know, and so I think it's pretty cool to bust these myths, and I actually kind of enjoy it. I think that's what makes it a fun sport. You
know? So this one came at us. It had a couple walleye questions. It was kind of some myth stuff. So that's how we started on this. And it was one of the guys that follows us, and he sent us into that alleyesongmail.com.
Yep.
And we get actually quite a few of our podcasts like that. So don't hesitate to email us.
That's
Ask us what you want. And sometimes it's just a quick response back to you. Sometimes we're like, that's a good thing to talk about. So we do it. And another thing I want to talk about is our website. It's new and up and running. It's looking awesome. I love it. AllEyesOnFishing.com. But here's another thing. We have the Big Bite series on that.
Yes, sir.
And we had that going like 2 years ago. And then we had some major problems with our website. But it's back up and running. And we love the Big Bite. So what that is what's your Big Bite?
Yep.
We've had kids send us photos of their Big Bite. It was a nice sunny.
Yep.
Or we've had great big walleye, great big northern, great big smallies, trout, whatever it is. We want to see your Big Bite. So send it to that email.
Right.
And we post photos.
Yep.
It's not all about just us catching fish. We want to have you guys see what you've been catching too.
And that webpage makes it easier for you guys. There are links And there are embedded players in that webpage where you can listen to our podcast straight from the webpage. You can watch our YouTube video straight from the webpage.
There's fishing reports. So if you're going to different bodies of water, different states, it gives you an idea where to go.
The products we mentioned in our podcast, or as many as I can put up in a day, are up on the webpage. And the pictures of the products linked directly to their webpage so you can buy them. Right from checking them out off our podcast.
Yes.
And so, and then don't forget, go to alleyesonfishing.com and get yourself a hat, a shirt, a sticker for your boat.
We've had a lot of requests for those.
Yep. And, you know, it's all there. It's ready to go. And trust me, guys, we are trying our best to keep it priced right so we can get it to you guys because we just want to get it out there and keep spreading this thing that we're trying to do.
So, from all of us at All Eyes on Fishing, I'd like to thank you guys for following us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and really making this successful for us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thanks.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thank you for joining us. Join us again next time where we discuss all of your favorite fishing topics. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Check out our videos on YouTube or read our blog at alleyesonfishing.com. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.